Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord, and we look forward to having a good time together on this Father's Day. So we want to honor fathers, and we want to pray for our fathers, and pray that God would continue to work in our families. We're going to learn some more about that here this morning. But first of all, if you would take your Bible this morning, we're going to read from the Word of God out of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 15. Luke and chapter 15. We'll begin with verse number 17. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Let's read together in unison here, beginning with verse 17. The Bible says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And a happy Father's Day to each of you gathered here. And it's a good time to be together to worship the Lord and to learn from God's word as we think about fathers, the need of fathers in our world and in our families. God designed the family, and he designed it to have a father, to be the head of his household and to lead his family. And boy, do we need that more than ever in our world. We can see how the lack of a father's presence and influence has definitely paid its toll, taken its toll. I'm going to share just a little bit here from an article on why children need fathers in the home. Why children need fathers. So I'll share that here. It says, "Children with involved, loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well in school, have healthy self-esteem, exhibit empathy and pro-social behavior, avoid high-risk behaviors such as drug use, truancy, and criminal activity compared to children who have uninvolved fathers. They're more likely to have high-paying jobs and healthy, stable relationships when they grow up. They also tend to have higher IQ test scores by the age of 3, and endure fewer psychological problems throughout their lives when fatherhood is taken seriously." And that's in a report just this May of 2020. "Children who live absent their biological fathers are on average at least 2 to 3 times more likely to be poor, to use drugs, to experience educational, health, emotional, and behavioral problems, to be victims of child abuse, to engage in criminal behavior, than their peers who live with their married biological or adopted parents." And so, the evidence from society is clear that fathers make a difference. Engaged fathers, loving fathers, present fathers make a difference in young people's lives. And so on this Father's Day, we want to honor fathers. And, you know, when I think about
fatherhood, and I think, wow, it is a challenging undertaking. It is a challenging undertaking. And so we need to pray for our fathers. You need to pray for your father. And us as fathers need to seek God's help. I know I sure need God's help. If you would take your Bible to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke. We read in our scripture earlier about this parable that Jesus told of a father that had two sons. Luke chapter 15. I think in many ways, the father in Jesus' story here pictures the heavenly father. And of course, both of the sons in this story that Jesus told, both of the sons had some challenges in their lives, some heart issues that had to be worked through. And we can see how the father was very gracious and very compassionate in helping each of his boys. Consider the verse that we have here on the screen, Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. If you have a respect for God, if you have placed God in his rightful spot in your life as in high regard, God says, I pity you. I care about you. I have empathy for you. God truly loves and cares for us, just like a father, a true loving father, should for his own children. And so God loves us. And that's a blessing to know that we have a father who cares. You know, in your life, you maybe don't have an earthly father that cared about you. Maybe that's the case. Or maybe your earthly father is no longer with you, like as in my case. I loved my dad. He certainly wasn't sinless, that's for sure, but he was a wonderful, faithful man of God. And he left an indelible mark on my life. And I look forward to seeing him again in not too many more days or years. You can leave, dads, we can leave an indelible mark on not just this life, but on eternity. I am certain that the reasons for which I humbled myself before God and I sought the Lord and His will for my life, even from my youth, was so much to the testament of my father, who led in that example of seeking the will of God and sticking out hardships to serve and follow the Lord. And he demonstrated that, not only teaching it with his words. And so, praise the Lord. This morning, I'd like to share a blueprint for a father's success. Now, this blueprint, I would say there's certainly more that could be said here. I've not got all the details on the blueprint, all right? But we do have some important details in our time that we're going to share together. So, in Luke 15, we find that a certain man has two sons. Notice verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." And if you know the story at all, you'll understand that this son, who's also known as the prodigal, goes out and he wastes his inheritance. He wasted all that his father had provided for him with riotous living, with sinful behavior, and left hungry and broken in a pig pen. He comes to himself, literally, in a pig pen. He comes to himself, and notice verse 17. It says, and when he came to himself, he came to his senses, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And so the son here, having wasted everything and in this place of brokenness, remembered his father. We will consider further what some of the things he remembered about his father. But first of all, this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do need your help. We're so thankful that we have a loving Father in heaven, God Almighty, the Creator of the ends of the earth, our Savior and our Lord. Heavenly Father, we do pray for your help even in this service, in this time of preaching the Word of God. Lord, I need you, and I pray that you would direct and guide, and that you would speak through me and speak through your Word to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, strengthen our homes. Our homes are wonderful, potential, wonderful places where the next generation is formed and raised to bring glory to you, Lord. And I pray that you would help my home and each of the homes represented in this congregation, and even those who would be joining us online, Lord, that we might give heed to your instructions, that we might tailor our homes after your blueprint. And Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we want to see, first of all, that as a father, the first blueprint we need to look at is to walk humbly with God. Walk humbly with God. I'll tell you what, the Christian life for anybody, but especially the father, must not merely be an act. We cannot merely play the part without the heart. We must have a heart for God. Would you go over in your Bible to Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy, right near the beginning of the Bible, and chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him? Notice what it says, to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve him, and to serve the Lord thy God with, would you read the last part of this verse 12? With all thy heart and with all thy soul. God wants us as fathers not to just put on an act when our kids are watching us or something of that nature. God really wants us to walk with God. God wants me to walk with him. And you know, that's true for any parent, whether it's mother or father or any Christian. God is interested in a genuine walk with him, right? He's not interested in prayer that's just memorized or you know, just said mindlessly. He wants us to pray from our heart, genuinely. And so is the same with our walk. And so we as fathers, we cannot merely act out the good parts of what a father should be. We must cultivate our relationship with the Lord. And so walk humbly with God. Just a note, as we consider these aspects of a blueprint to a father's success, As I think through these, as I look at these, I think, oh me, oh my, oh Lord, your help, your help. And that's where it begins, is honestly, soberly, humbly seeking God. Number two, we need to lead by example. Lead by example. God wants us to be an example. His desire is not just that we would say and teach with our words what our kids should do or how they should live, but God wants us to be that example. And Jesus certainly was that kind of a teacher. He wasn't a teacher that just gave formal instruction, although he did. But he was a teacher that led by example. John 13 and verse 15. Now this is in the context of just before Jesus was betrayed and went to the cross. He was spending a very special evening with his followers, with the disciples, specifically just the disciples. And as he spent that evening, one of the things he did was he did the menial task that an unknown servant would be expected to do in someone's household, right? And he, Jesus, the Lord of all, the greatest of all, took a basin of water and he took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet, which was a custom of their day. They wore sandals. It was a dusty climate, certainly. And so it was customary to provide a basin of water there, and maybe a person over to your house would just simply have the pleasure of washing their own feet. Or in some situations, there would be somebody who that was their job to help in that way and to simply treat the guests with honor. Now, Jesus took that on himself, and he was teaching a lesson of how he wanted the disciples to serve one another and to care for one another. And Jesus said, you know, me being your master, I've taught you how to serve. I've showed you. And so Jesus taught by example. We cannot merely give instructions. We must show the instructions. We must live the things we preach. We must live what we preach. And so consider also, I'll share some words from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So again, the Bible points us to Jesus as an example to follow. And the Bible gives more on this in verse 22, "Who did no sin," speaking of Jesus, "neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled," reviled not again, "when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Now, Jesus taught us to love our enemies, right? By his formal instruction. He said, all right, you sit down. I'm going to teach you something. You need to love your enemies. The world says love your friends, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. But then Jesus also showed that by his own example. When he was tortured, when he was hatefully spoken to and spit upon and beaten, all that came out was kindness, forgiveness, love. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back. And that's an example for us, but we as fathers need to cultivate that walk with God so that we can lead our families by example, that we can show how it is that we ought to live and follow God and to trust God and to respond to situations. Now, for these things, we need the Holy Spirit. We absolutely do. Without him, we cannot. But with him, we can. We can. God accomplishes great things through those who are yielded to him. And so, let's yield to him. So, when we think about leading by example, what about reading our Bible, right? And having devotions with God. That's something that, it's not necessarily something that every time, although there's nothing wrong with this and it should happen, But it's not necessarily that we always have to say, okay, let's read the Bible together. That's good, and that should happen. But are we seeking God personally and privately? And, you know, if we are, our kids are going to know that. They're going to see that. My kids are going to see that. And, we're not doing it merely to be seen, but if the reality is there, it will be seen. So we need to seek God. We need to read our Bible. That personal example. We need to yield to the Lord. Our heart needs to be yielded. The example of yielding our heart and responding to God humbly and prayerfully. Asking God for help when we face difficulties. It's very important. You know, I can think of numerous situations. One that comes to my mind right now, we had an old pickup that was my dad's, actually, and don't have it anymore, but we had an old pickup, and it was a diesel, little diesel. And it was kind of a hard starter. It sort of took a challenge sometimes. I don't think the glow plug system was working quite right. And anyway, one number of years ago, you know, we put a new battery in it, and we thought that would surely get it going, and we, you know, checked the cables, and we just couldn't get it started. My boys were with me. And, you know, after a few attempts, it was like, you know, we need to pray. And we forgot to pray, you know, and we need God's help. We prayed and asked the Lord to help us get the pickup going. And right after that, I mean, we started it and it just, you know, it took off. And Alec would definitely remember this, right? And I could see many times after that, I could see my son, when we came to a difficulty, he said, well, let's pray, you know. And now he had to learn that it wasn't just a magic wand, you know, like, but that is a good thing. We need to teach our kids to depend on God. And so our example is important. Faithfulness in God's house is another example that we should leave for our children. These are important things. Number three, we need to teach the biblical faith. Teach the biblical faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We as fathers are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So while we should lead by example and while we should walk with God in genuineness, we need to formally, specifically teach our children the truth of God. Teach the biblical faith. Deuteronomy chapter 6, here in the Old Testament again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, noticing beginning with verse 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So here's the instruction God gives to his children, to his people. And now he applies it to us as parents teaching our children, as fathers teaching our children. Verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So, God clearly wants us to teach our children the things of God, the faith. You know, sometimes we share maybe a devotion book. We often do at supper time. We read from the scriptures and we pray. We have a little box of missionary prayer cards and other Christmas cards that we pray for different people at our devotion time. But you know, reading the Bible, sometimes it's just a matter of opening the Bible and not sure totally where we're going to go, but you know, open it to one of the Psalms or open it to another verse that comes to mind and share a few verses in just a few minutes of time, and then think about what that verse is saying and just talk about it a little bit, ask some questions to our kids, and teach the Bible on a daily basis. Every day, just spending some time in God's Word. Some days, You know, things are going to be, some days, you know, the schedule or whatever might be more difficult, or you're away at work, whatever the case. But the habit of seeking God, of reading the Bible, of obeying the Bible is important. And so make teaching the Word of God, the faith, part of your life. And that's something God wants us as fathers to take the lead in. That's for certain. Mom's a good helper in these things too, but we as fathers need to take the lead. Number four, God wants us to be a gracious provider. A gracious provider. There's a lot of time we could spend on each one of these, but I have several of them, so I got to keep moving. But you know, God says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 that if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever. So God clearly wants us to provide financially. And sometimes a father can provide very nice things. Sometimes a father, and maybe those listening, would say, well, I'm struggling, and I lost my job, and right now I don't even have anything, you know, and we're struggling. You know what? That's okay. But we as fathers must recognize God's call for us to be willing workers, willing givers, and I mean giving to our families, gracious givers to the needs of our own household and to others. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, God says that he loveth a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver. So as we work and as we provide, we should do that out of a heart of love and out of a heart of joy that we can take care of our family, right? So embrace God's call for us to be a provider. Be a gracious provider. Number five. Work at being consistent. Work at being consistent. Let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 15. We have here this story that Jesus shared of the man who had two sons. And this one son has been living disobediently. He's wasted his father's inheritance. We already talked about some of that a little bit. He finds himself in the pig pen. But you know what? As he thinks about home, and as he thinks about his father, he thinks, you know what? If I go back there, I'll tell my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, right? And you know what? He had some expectations of how his father would respond. There's the understanding here that this man knew, this prodigal son knew that he was going to have to confess his sin. I mean, his father was not just roses and flowers. You know, he was going to address the sin issue. But you know what? With this repentant heart, even though he had done so much wrong and so much that hurt his father, he knew he could go back and humble himself, and that he would find mercy. And you know what? He found more mercy than he even anticipated. He was thinking, wow, I can say to my father, could I just be a servant? Right? Take away the son part off the table. Just let me be one of your servants, Dad. And the father did so much more. The father saw him coming. And the Bible says, when he was a great way off, verse 20, he saw him coming and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he rejoices and he says, kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on my boy's finger. He says, put the best robe on him. My son was dead. And now he's alive. Oh, this father had obviously prayed and longed for his son. And again, the father in this story pictures the heavenly father. But you know what? We, as the earthly father, should have that same consistency that our kids can expect from us in disciplinary matters, that we state the expectations clearly and we hold the line, right? We give appropriate loving consequences when there's a violation, right? But we also exercise mercy, but with wisdom. And all of those things, but that there's a consistency. You know, when there's inconsistency, when it's maybe playing favorites between this child and that child, or where there's inconsistencies in expectations, we say this, but we never enforce it, so the kids come to learn that it doesn't actually matter. What dad says doesn't matter. You know, it's just, he just is on a tirade, and now, you know, when this all blows over, if there's always these what can we expect, right? You know, it's far better for the children, whether they're young children or whether they're teens, or in this case in the story, obviously it's an adult child coming back to his home, to his father. And are we providing that consistency? That's something that our kids need. And so let's work on being consistent in our lives, in our home, holding the line for our children. Teenagers need someone to hold the line for them. They need someone to give boundaries and hold them to it with appropriate consequences. And so this is what God wants us as fathers to take the lead in for our homes. Number six, we got to cruise along. Number six, learn to extend and receive forgiveness. Again, in this story here, we can see the father here joyfully extending forgiveness to the son. The son had done so much wrong. The son had wasted his father's hard work of many years of inheritance that was given there. But the father loved the son and readily forgave him and demonstrated compassion and love. So we can see the extending and receiving of forgiveness. You know, sometimes we need, as fathers, we need forgiveness. So we need to be willing to receive it as well. I think about more than one occasion where I have had to sit down one of my kids or several of my children and say, I was wrong. I was wrong in what I said there. I was wrong in what I did there. Would you please forgive me? We need to be man enough to seek forgiveness when we've done wrong. That is important. That is also vital in our kids seeing that we're honest and that we are leading by example. All right? Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, God's forgiven us of so much. We need to be willing to extend forgiveness again and again and again, even if they've hurt you deeply. Sometimes kids hurt you. We need to extend forgiveness, not only in that relationship, but certainly in every other, in our home and outside of our home. Forgive. Number seven, we need to engage relationally with resolve. Engage relationally with resolve. I can totally see the father in this story engaging with each of his children. Now, we haven't heard much from the second son in this situation, the older son. The younger here went off and wasted his father's goods, but when he returned, the father drew near as the son drew near. He engaged with his child. He engaged compassionately, lovingly, and in many other ways that could be identified. So he was rejoicing over his son. Now, notice verse 25. Well, I'll back up to verse 24. "For this my son was dead," the father says, "and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." It was a joyful day. It was a celebration. The fatted calf was killed, and they were going to have a joyful time of rejoicing Now notice what happens as the elder son comes home from the field. Middle of verse 25, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was, what's the next word?
Angry.
Angry. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And so the father engaged with the elder son now, who's got a bad attitude, which reveals some heart trouble in the elder son's life as well. You know, heart trouble presents itself in different ways. But we can see that both of these sons had different kinds of heart trouble. But the father reached out to both of them. And so we need to engage with each of our children. Each of our children are different. They have different needs. They have different ways they handle sick things. You know, they have different ways they process things. And we need to try to engage on their level. I know I struggle with relationships. It's not really a strong point for me. But we have to work at it. I have to work at it with God's help. We can engage relationally. And lastly, this morning, number 8, recognize the power of love. You know, love can cover a multitude of sins. Love is one of the most powerful forces in all of the world. And love will make the difference in your home and your family. Love made the difference in this family that Jesus told us about, right? If this prodigal father who ran away from home and who lived sinfully, if his father didn't love him, or if he didn't have the clear sense that his father cared about him, he would have not gone back home. When he ended up in the back alley of life broken, he wouldn't have gone home. The love the father had didn't always keep the son from going away, but it did bring him back. The seeds of love we plant from the youth into the adult years make a huge difference. The scripture says in 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think about the love God's had for us that's drawn us unto himself. Wow, what an amazing love God has had for us, even though so many times we have turned away from it. We've shunned it. We've pushed him away at different points in our life or by different actions. But God continued loving us. And we as fathers must have that kind of love, that our children know that they are loved, even when we have to do things that are not what they want, right? When we hold the line for them, when we bring loving discipline and consequences into their life to guide them in the right direction, always in love needs to be preeminent. But, you know, father can make all the difference. I have some statistics here that I just share in closing that come from our society. You know, the statistics report here that 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. 85% of youths in prisons grew up, you guessed it, in fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. And so the difference a father can make is a world of difference for every child. So we as fathers must take seriously the high calling God has given us. It is not an easy calling. And for those fathers who are engaged and who are seeking God and who are seeking to provide and love their families, thank you. And God bless you today for being in church, for seeking the Lord in your life. A difference is being made. It's an investment. There's a lot you put in. Well, one day the return will come. The return will come. Let's be faithful. And so we want to honor fathers today. Father, thank you for the time we could spend today. Thank you for the fathers that you have called us to be. And Lord, help us in this. It's a challenging work, but with your help, we can. And that's why you instituted that men should be the father, because you designed us with this leadership and caring, tender, yet strong heart. And Father, I pray that you would help us to embrace your call. Bless the fathers who are gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen.